Okay, hey everyone, it's your host again, your girl Yesha. Yes, we're back with you again. Welcome to another exciting episode of our podcast. That's episode 435 with the title of Scaling and Conversion. Stay tuned as we delve into the content for today's discussion. Let's go.
Let's do this.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
All right, Yesha, how you doing?
It's
been a while. Yeah.
You've been very busy.
I took overdosed on melatonin last night from jet lag. Melatonin.
Yeah, you need that. I know that I have had those when I'm having trouble sleeping or things like that. Yes, you need that because you've been traveling. You've been very busy. Your plate is full, so you need a good sleep.
Yeah, a couple of weeks in Brussels, Belgium, first time. It was an Ethereum conference for our blockchain e-commerce project, which people have been asking me. I just got Mark Ramos asking me what's going on with that and others. So I think maybe on the outro, if people are really curious, we'll give some updates about my trip.
We'll
do a little teaser now, but if you want to hear the full juice, we'll talk after the amazing interview, which you did by yourself, Yesha, stepping up more.
First time
the host, full host of a podcast for Global from Asia. I think you handled it well. We had a great guest, Moon Yu. Moon, we met in the GFA community and back in 2018 or so in Hong Kong and Shenzhen. She came to the summit back then and she's been really growing and doing well. She'll be a speaker this time at the Cross Border Summit. Yes. So excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, when I interviewed her, I asked her, how did you meet and things like that. And yeah, definitely she said she actually attended CBS in the past. And she said she enjoyed it and you became friends and connected. So now we're going to have her again and she's happy with that. That's all good.
3 months to go until Cross Border Summit. We also have some bonuses we're working on some bonuses for attendees that are confirmed, or we still have some slots available. So maybe also in the outro, before Brussels, we'll share about some of these updates and bonuses for the Cross Border Summit that I think maybe you'll even hear about the first time.
Yeah, too. Don't forget, discounts are still up, guys. Discounts. Come on, it's still there.
I'll meet you for the first time in person at the summit, too, and you're coming. That's going to be amazing.
Yes. Miss Sally, too, I think will be here first.
And Sally, some of you talk to Sally in the community. She'll be coming, too, so it's going to be an exciting time.
Can't wait.
All right, we'll share some of those juicy updates, too. But for now, I think let's jump into this amazing interview with Moon about scaling and conversion. Are you looking for USA banking solutions for your e-commerce business? I am proud to say Mercury.com is supporting the podcast here third year in a row at Global from Asia. And we're proud to say it because we use them ourselves for many of our own Amazon brands, e-commerce brands, and joint ventures with our US structures. And they're super easy to do, online application, no fees. And they have great customer support, have helped us with trouble with Amazon Seller Central over the years about some receipts and statements and everything like that. So we're so happy to say thank you, Mercury, for supporting our show, being a great service, and supporting other e-commerce sellers. We're really proud to say they're a sponsor here. And we also have a video tutorial as well as an overview and a special link with a little bonus for you as well for us under certain conditions. Check it out at globalfromasia.com/Mercury for that information. Thank you for listening and thank you, Mercury.
Hello guys, we're back. So again, I'm here with Moon and today we are going to talk about scaling and conversion and setting up the right flow for e-commerce business. Of course, Moon is going to be with me here with us to explain things. So how are you, Moon?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Can you tell us about yourself, and also can you tell us how you met Mike, because Mike is not around right now, so can you give us like a little bit of a history right there?
Absolutely. So my name is Moon. I'm a tech entrepreneur. I've been in the industry since as long as I can remember, pretty much like after the graduation, that was when I stepped in. I actually met Mike many years ago, very early on in my career. I was working for a VR and AR company back then. It was more of a digital production studio. And Mike and I were both working in the commercial teams, and obviously him doing his podcast, his marketing stuff, and I was more of a salesperson. So back then we had a lot of collaborations, and now I set up my own company after years called DigiSense. And so we're actually a product studio, so a software product studio to be exact. We produce web apps, mobile apps, especially for tech related companies or tech enabled companies. So yeah, that's the quickest introduction I can give.
Wow, that's very nice. And yes, I remember Mike mentioned to me that you've known each other for a long time, and you've been with, or you've been to rather, CBS as well, like in the previous, is that right?
Yeah, I've been to CBS once or twice when Mike was still back in Shenzhen, actually. And it was, I live in Hong Kong, so it's just across the border for me back in the days. So it was way easier to access.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. So that's, but you've been friends and somehow partners for a long time.
Yep, indeed,
Yeah.
indeed.
Well, I just want to let you know that it's our pleasure to have you back here. And speaking of, since we're talking about e-commerce and such, there are some few questions here that we would like to know the answer from you. And we would like to you to help us understand and explain things, and so people would be able to understand as well. One of those questions would be like, what are the issues that you see with e-commerce websites not scalable?
So I think overall speaking, from a software product point of perspective, or just technical perspective, I'm not a technical person. I was a scientist by education. I did not know anything about software development when starting the company back in the days. Obviously, now I do know way more. But the problem with any sort of commercial people like myself, I have always been in the tech industry as a salesperson or as a marketing person. The thing is, our understanding is very limited. So what we focus on would be to sell, right? So we would come up with the whole great idea. We probably have the great design, a great branding. It allows us to sell for sure, but we do miss out a lot on the technical capabilities and the infrastructure, as what we say, of these e-commerce websites or even just in general, because if you go onto Shopify, if you go onto WooCommerce or whatever, there will be a bunch of plugins that you can use, same as Wix, same as any sort of templated website. You can sell straight away with very little investment in the technology. But there is a reason why a lot of big e-commerce companies have to have an entire tech team in-house or like working alongside with them in order to scale. Because I guess the most important thing is a good tech infrastructure is kind of like a good fundamental foundation of a building. So you can definitely come up with a building in no time. Just stack bricks. It's nothing too difficult. But if you don't have a good foundation, let's say you go to level 3 or 4, the building collapses. It's very
Yeah,
simple.
that's right.
So yeah, exactly.
So,
So
yeah, go ahead.
go ahead, sorry. Now, I was just saying, so the easiest way to understand it as is it's a good problem to have when your website fails, because that means you have traffic. But without traffic, your website is not going to fail. So which one do you want? Do you want sales or do you want the technical infrastructure, whatever? But it goes hand in hand. So as you scale, you need to invest more and more money into the infrastructure to make it buildable. You need a size skyscraper if you really want to sell.
That makes more sense in my head now. That explanation is very clear. Because if you for people like me, when I'm just looking at it, like I'm looking at those words, scaling and things like that, like it's a whirlwind in my head. But like the way you explain it, it's not really complicated. It's very easy. You just need to like find your way to be able to understand, and the way you explain it is very understandable. And do you have like most importantly, like a bad one can cause you lose money? Like I think in that particular part, the way you said it earlier is that you're gonna have to have a good foundation for you not to be able to lose money. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, correct. So the best example I can give you is let's not go to Amazon. That's way too far. But maybe ASOS, like just a
Oh yeah.
marketplace where you can buy things, sell things. But imagine the traffic that they deal with every single day and
Right.
how much money they make, obviously. So it is proportional that you need to invest back in the to the tech, because I guess it's probably Christmas time or Easter time
Right.
or Black Friday. Like if you're pushing
Holidays,
out some sort of campaigns, yeah, people are supposed to come and shop. What happens is that if you get over a certain limit that your infrastructure can handle, that's when it breaks. So, I mean,
Right.
if you only have one chance. You only have one Black Friday per year to make money. And what happens
Yeah.
if it,
I
you
mean,
know,
you
if
miss
it breaks?
it. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're gonna have to
Which
wait
is
again
kind
for
of
another
awful.
year, which is like a waste
Exactly.
of time, which is not really good. Well, because I as how you explained it, I believe one of those critical parts would be have a good foundation to be able to build a good website. And are there any other like issues that you can think of aside from that? Any other mistakes many e-commerce sellers do in their shopping cart or in their website or anything like that, aside from the ones that you have already mentioned?
Yeah, so I think one most important thing is overcomplicating things, especially on the user journey side, because everyone has their own brands, everyone has their own sort of vision and things they want to push out. But with all honesty, usually for shoppers, they care about the products, and obviously they do care about the brand, but brand communication can be done outside of the website, not within the website. When they land on the website, just make them buy. It's very simple. Just convert. That's the only word that you need to know.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I would say just people just kind of confuse the focus point, especially when they land on the website.
So what you gotta make sure is when they land to your website, you gotta have to make sure that they buy and not just go there and look for things. So you wanna make sure that they add it to the cart and buy whatever you're selling. Basically, that's what it is. Yeah.
Simple
I mean,
UX user journey.
yeah. I mean, right now, I believe like most of us people in the world, like me, I don't really like going out. I would rather go on a website and buy something. Right now, in this point of time, physical stores are like, how do you say, like, for as for me, only at least for me, physical stores are like, for me, like the old way for you to like buy things, because right now for me, I would rather go online and browse and buy things from there rather than taking my time to go to a store and looking for what I want and things like that. And there are all also highest impacts, like what is the lowest hanging fruit way? Lowest hanging fruit way for you.
Sorry, can you explain a little bit more? Like, what do you mean by the lowest hanging fruit way to do what? Like, what's the
For the whole
action of
thing.
that? As in for the website or?
Yeah, for let's see. For the website, yeah, let's go for the website.
I see. I would say to start off with, obviously, if you are just starting as a new brand,
Right.
don't really need to put too much into the tech architecture for sure, but this is something that you need to revisit down the line as you scale.
As you
But I
go,
would say
yeah.
make sure, yeah, as you go, but make sure that your, I would say the logistics part, the checkout, the payment, and all these things are done smoothly. Because as a shopper, I mean, the difference between shopping online and shopping in store is, if I really need something today, I'll go in store and shop it. But shopping online is, we want the things to be delivered as soon as possible, as always. But also, this is something that we're willing to wait for. So within that amount of time, what can you do to engage these users? So I'll give you an example. People put more and more focus into adding things on top. So let's say after you check out, some marketplaces, they actually allow you to add on like extra discounted goods. So basically just adding more to your cart, etc. I mean, these are mostly, I would say, the easiest things that we all know as long as you're an e-com seller. But I would say the lowest hanging fruit is always just to get the features and functionality over. Don't overemphasize your brand, but put a little bit more focus into the checkout process to convert. That's the main thing always.
Right, that's a very good idea right there, because what me and myself a few years back, I have my own, not my own, but like I sell some things previously in I don't know if you're familiar with Shopee and Lazada.
Yes, of course.
Yes. So like I have my own store there before, but I think I don't know what happened, but I sell beauty products and things like that. And that site would always offer me some things like add this discount to your shop and you'll get more of this, blah, blah, blah. So, some sort of a marketing strategy, and I never really bother adding those. And I think, what do you think? Because that's perhaps one of the reasons why I fail, because I never get it. I only lasted for like 3 years, I think, and then I stopped because I really didn't believe with those kind of strategies. So yeah, it was bad.
I would say, I mean, things definitely changed. We do handle some clients who used to sell on Amazon and Walmart. So, I mean, most of our clients are from Western countries. So, I would say most of them would be selling on marketplaces to begin with. I'm not sure about Shopee and Lazada in specific, but I think. Especially after COVID, people kind of changed their shopping behavior over time as well. Many different reasons, but I think more and more people are moving to direct-to-consumer business model instead of, you know, going onto marketplaces. And also, it really depends what kind of products you're selling because people buy a little bit more into the brand now instead of the just the goods itself. So if it's electronics, well, I mean, it is what it is, right? It's very direct. It's more of a necessity. But when you're selling like beauty products, if you're selling something to do with aesthetics, beauty, design, then like fashion apparels, those, but it's very important to, you know, direct people just to your own brand instead of putting it onto a marketplace. I'd say that's like kind of an evolution.
Yeah, I agree with you, because like in the Philippines right now, if you want to buy something like beauty products or things like that, they have their own website and they promote their own website. So yeah, that makes sense. Since we are rather talking about clients already, tell me about you working with your clients. Like, what have you seen? Have you made some great progress with e-commerce stores? Like, can you share, like, give us an overview?
Yeah, definitely. So overall, funnily enough, a lot of the e-com stores that we work with are we usually work with the extension of it. So what it means is the plugins or extra apps that is built on top of the website. So I would say the most common thing that we see is the reason why we work on the extension apps instead of the website itself is because website itself is it is what it is. But then if you work on a direct-to-consumer website, let's say on Shopify or on Wix store, usually they, like I said, the technical architecture is very limited. So we talk about performance in general. So performance, like this word performance in the technical term, really means the speed and responsiveness of the website itself. So imagine waiting for like 10 seconds for a checkout. Like, I mean, I'd just jump off, honestly. So this is the main problem that I would say companies who are scaling would be encountering. So if you have, yes, things are workable, it's clickable, it works, it probably doesn't break, but if you keep adding on Shopify plugins or if you keep adding on different sort of apps onto your website, it's just like having a very thin tree trunk, sorry, and very thin branches. And once you add more and more branches onto the very thin trunk, that's when things happen. That's when it breaks, right?
It
So
breaks.
you need to have a solid foundation. So what we really do is to attach the branch back into the tree itself. So that way, if things are in the same loop and kind of on the same page, instead of having to communicate here and there and reach to the right for this, reach to the left for that, and that kind of make things really slow.
That's right. Well, guys, who to talk to and who to reach just in case you have problems with websites and things like that. Our girl Moon is right here. And also, what are ways of people can work with you on? Like, what are you building? Like, can you share and give us some like promo for those listeners out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, matter of fact, we just launched our own e-commerce SaaS product, as in software as a service product. It's a very small Shopify plugin for now, but we're still building it actually. So, it's basically a wishlist app. So, wishlist is something that we all know about. It's very simple. You have a favorites button, a little heart on the
I
side of
use
your
that all the
checkout
time.
button. Yeah, exactly. And especially if we're shopping for like dresses or if we're going onto an occasion, we want to see what our options are. We're not shopping for a keyboard, right? It's not the same. So if that happens, then obviously we want to, let's say, put 10 or 20 dresses into the favorites. But sometimes it does happen that we never really check out, or we go to multiple stores. Then that's when you, as an e-com seller, actually lose your clients, lose your customers. Because that's what we basically, if you turn it into the physical terms, that means they're window shoppers. That means they walk past your store, but they never bought anything, right? So you're
I'm
basically
guilty with
paying. I think we all are. But yeah, I guess like that's the whole point of a lot of problem happening in especially direct to consumer brands is they're paying a lot of money in customer acquisition. You acquire them from social media ads, you acquire them from Google ads, but at the end of the day, you don't really get them converted. Then what are you really paying for the ads, right? So essentially, this application that we built called Twixo is already live on Shopify App Store. Twixo is actually a conversion tool. So it's an email marketing conversion tool, but more like a data tool. So we only utilize the wish list button as an intermediate form to capture your leads. And ultimately, at the back, we help you hyper customize the marketing campaigns and also your email campaigns to the leads to convert them at the end. So, and also inventory management, that's part of what we do.
Okay, that makes sense because as a buyer myself, like if I go on a website and I like something but I don't want to buy now, yeah, it's very convenient for me to put it on a heart, but like as time goes by, I forget about it and it's just gonna stay there forever. I'm not even gonna remember going back and checking it out or buying it. So yeah, I think what you are doing, you're gonna make it big. I believe that well, that's actually the set of the questions that we have for you. And I hope for those listeners out there, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to have some takeaways from Moon right here because she have made the explanations very clear and not really hard to understand. Because as for me, I was able to understand it very clear. And we hope, by the way, speaking, it's what now? July. So a few months, it's guys CBS. We hope to see you there, Moon. CBS 2024, Cross Border Summit 2024. And what do you call this one? We would love to have you again as the speaker, as you were a few years ago, right? You were a speaker again. Yeah. So
Absolutely.
if you we would have you again, that would be very nice. And do you have any last words to those listeners out there before we wrap up everything?
Yeah, well, I think the main message that I want to send out is doing sales is very important, but do make sure that you get fundamentals done properly. Otherwise, when it breaks on the Black Friday, that's when the nightmare really starts.
Guys, so you heard that. So for sure, better go ahead and talk to Moon and hire her service. That's for sure. Guys, thank you very much for staying with us. Moon, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. And guys, we're gonna see you again on the episode 436 of our podcast. All right. Thank you guys. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
The future of e-commerce is waiting. LoadPipe is back. It's a protocol. We are making the new way to do e-commerce with blockchain technology. This is very early stage, and we have Hamza as our first marketplace in this new ecosystem. It's very epic. If you want to participate, we are on an alpha stage in Q1 2024, where you can be a buyer or a vendor, application only. Check it out at hamza.biz for the marketplace or the overview of this protocol, and subscribe for updates at loadpipe.com. See you there.
All right. That was a nice short interview for one of our speaker, Moon. What do you think about it, Mike? How do you rate me?
We should let the whole community do a thumbs up or rating. But it's been great. It's been great to see you.
Thank you.
Grow in your ability and skills as a host, and also talking to all the different speakers and community members, right, and Cross Border Summit and Global from Asia. So, thumbs up. Well, maybe we have to have a rating. I mean, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing more of that. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's fun.
Well, yeah, I can't wait to. I haven't seen Moon since before COVID myself, I think 2019 or 20. Yeah. So It'll be a great summit. So Cross Border Summit, November 3rd, 4th, and 5th this year. Actually, we're working on a whole bunch of new bonuses. But one bonus I want to focus on today is my fourth book.
Oh, yeah. You want to give us a hint of how it looks like?
It's the fifth book.
Oh, fifth book.
Yeah, I got it.
Do we have it there? Can we see?
I have a draft. It's not released yet. But
oh, wow.
I didn't even confirm the title yet. I didn't confirm the title, but it's a short story. It's not really as much a nonfiction. Gladiator. It's more of a fiction. It's called E-Commerce Gladiator 2, Escape Tyranny. So it's a journey short story.
I've
mostly edited and written. It might expand a bit, but I've been wondering when to release it. So I think the Cross Border Summit is a great time to release it. So of course we'll hook up anybody that comes with a printed, signed, autographed copy from me.
Wow! Oh,
yeah.
And, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and of course the story of it and the others involved with the creation of it. So that's gonna be one of our bonuses. We're always throwing in fun stuff for people that make it out to the summit, as well as many other bonuses and things that we can offer. We're working on a lot of cool things, but let's just keep that one bonus for now. Maybe in the time we can give another bonus.
I'm pretty sure that book, in case those readers out there, I'm pretty sure they would be able to get a lot of takeaways from that book alone from you. So that's a real deal right there. So good job.
I guess the second thing, and I call this the blah, 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 the outro, because back in the day, people said the intro is too long and they just want to get into interviews.
Right.
So I call this the blah, blah, blah. So if people are done with the interview of Moon and they want to move on. But if you want to hear, so some of the Brussels, Belgium, which I'm still recovering from. So we do a lot. Everybody knows we do a lot here. I hope you like it, Yesha. I hope most of our team, I think some people, I don't know, I don't want to pick on people, but one person we tried to onboard to join us a couple weeks ago. They left on the first or second day. I don't know if you heard or saw that. But I think they were overwhelmed with the getting started tasks and they felt like this was too difficult. I think some people like the jobs that maybe are repetitive or they just learn a couple different things over and over, but that's not what we do here. So hopefully we call the team ninjas likes to do lots of different things and skills.
I mean, for me, I'm surviving and so far it's all cool. And I mean, I'm guilty myself. I've been doing repetitive tasks in the past. It can be difficult sometimes, but it's good that you keep on learning.
Great. Anne's doing great. So. Anne's always learning too. We had a long call. Actually, it's a little bit delayed start for us because I think what I try to say is, I like to say we're making diamonds. And to make diamonds, how diamonds are made, their diamonds are made under pressure, right? Underground.
Right.
Coal is pushing things so hard, but I think you create amazing things like diamonds under pressure, which we are always under. But we are diamonds. People are diamonds and our projects are diamonds. But so we're working on one called, people have heard us use the name Loadpipe, which is an e-commerce protocol for doing business on blockchain. So some people, of course, you must have heard of Bitcoin, right? Everybody's heard of Bitcoin.
I was with someone before who's crazy about, but yeah, off of
Okay.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of
Definitely.
like, I don't know how technical I want to get on this little outro, but it's kind of like using blockchain technology to buy and sell physical products.
Right.
So the
I
idea is
mean,
we've been working on this for, I mean, it depends what you say is the start, but at least a year already, a heavy 6 months. So we went to this event called ECC in Brussels, Belgium. Just as attendees, three of the core team went. Two from Thailand, one from already in Europe. I was in Europe already. And it was basically a full week conference from Sunday until Friday. I think there was some stuff on Saturday, but basically a full week of pre-events, post-events, during events, like
Wow, very busy.
all about like really actually very, very technical about blockchain and crypto, more technical than I was even than even I am. A lot more developers, but we're here showing about, hey, we're working on like a new e-commerce like marketplace, like a new Amazon or Shopee, but on blockchain. And it was new for even them. So what we're really trying to do is bring this traditional e-commerce community, like Global from Asia and Cross Border Summit, but we've also previewed gave some introductions of it at the last summit to with these kind of crypto investors, developers, buyers, so that bring this together, which is innovation by itself, not only just the technology.
Exactly.
So we're trying to take all that like geeky developer stuff from blockchain and make it more useful for e-commerce. And it's kind of taking
Very
this old and new
promising.
together. So the payments will be on crypto native, the transactions, the accounts are on the everything, the products. So I don't know if you would understand why that might be important, but there's a couple of reasons. One is nobody can take that away from you as a buyer or a seller. Because like on
That's right.
Shopee or Amazon, they could delete your account or ban you.
Right.
And you don't really keep anything. You barely keep anything.
Exactly.
You
I
might
have a
get
Shopee account, and they said I have been inactive for months now, and they're threatening me to be
Oh,
restricted.
I
Yeah, I have a
lost
shop.
that. I lost that
I'm a
one too.
seller.
I have that. Well, it's actually not me. It was one of our team members made it before Marie, and she's in Germany now, and she doesn't have that company in the Philippines anymore. And the emails are going to us. And yeah, this is what I'm saying. So this is
It's
what we have
difficult.
no control. We have no ownership. So the idea of blockchain is the user owns it, not the marketplace or the platform. So
I have
it's decentralized.
Lazada and Shopee, actually, both of them.
Yeah. So the idea is if you're a seller on this platform, I guess it wouldn't be so good if you're not active, and the buyer might not want to buy from you if you're not active, but the buyer could still buy from you because we, as a marketplace, or it's a little bit technical, but the point is, even if the marketplace deactivated you in this ecosystem, you could still take your product data, your account data, and maybe restore it on another marketplace. Like they could just not allow you to. It's, you understand, it's separating the data from the platform.
I somehow it makes sense in my head. I
That's
understand
basically
somehow.
what we're doing. That's basically the promise of web, any kind of Web3 or blockchain technology. That's the main promise of web. I mean, that's the core difference is the users have ownership and power. They're not just a, I call it a pawn in the game, right? You're actually a owner of your data. So your product data, your money, your reviews are yours, not the platform's.
Oh, yeah, because like if the platform like Shopee and Lazada tries to deactivate your account, you lose everything. You lose your followers on your shop, your reviews, your ratings, everything. So if you have been selling for 10 years, that will be all gone if the shop will deactivate
Exactly.
your, I mean,
So
the marketplace will be activated.
in this new e-commerce world we're building,
It's not like that.
the platform was the new, like the new Lazada on this platform could still block you. I mean, they also have their own ability and power. They can block you from their marketplace. But you could take your data and restore it on another marketplace or another website.
Like you can extract it and
The data
Inject it
is,
on a different,
yeah, basically, yeah, you get it. So I don't know if people, some people tell me, oh, do sellers really care or buyers really care? I think they don't even know this is possible. And there's actually a lot more you can do with it. Like maybe you didn't follow all the NFT craziness in the last cycle during COVID. There was a lot of crypto stuff. And did you hear about the apes, the Bored Apes and things
No.
like that? But there was all these, they're basically selling artwork on the blockchain called artwork NFTs. And so people think it's all dumb because they're just selling JPEGs or images, but you can use this technology for e-commerce. So the point is, imagine you buy something from, or I buy something from your shop, and then later you want to give a reward to everybody who's ever bought something from your shop. You could give them something to their, yeah, semi easily with like, it's usually it's called snapshots in crypto. So they could take like everybody has bought, you could actually just make your own rule, right? And then you could give a reward, like a, you can give them
Like
an
a
NFT, you
thank
can
you
give,
to everybody.
yeah. So, or you can give it to your top customers, or you can
Yeah,
give
that
it
would make
to,
them come back.
yeah, like all these things. And this is what the blockchain was for, in my opinion, or one of the powers of it. So you can do all this cool stuff blockchain has for e-commerce. There's so many things. We can give so many rewards and incentives because it's on
I
a
think that's a
blockchain.
good idea. Yeah, it's hard to start all over again if you get unlucky with these platforms and you got removed or banned. It's hard to
Exactly.
start all over again. And because as a consumer, I would like to see some reviews first and ratings before I buy something. And if
Yeah,
you're just
exactly.
starting, it's hard to get that.
Exactly. So that's the, some people say it's not good though, because what if that other platform was fake? But the point is everything will be transparent. So you could see which people gave those reviews on their wallet. So there can be tools, analytics tools that could kind of estimate which reviews are real or not, because it's opened. So as much as there could be bad stuff, but there's in the current system, you can't really verify because it's closed system. But with an open system, it could be
You can
verified
see.
by third-party people and tools, or you yourself can check to see, like, does this look like a real review? So you can actually do stuff like that.
I mean, just sometimes just by seeing reviews, you can tell if that's somehow written by a person or a robot or something. It's very easy to determine sometimes. But technology nowadays is it's what do you call it? It's clever. Technology is getting more advanced and advanced and advanced. So,
Exactly.
we'll see.
All right. So I think, you know, hopefully, but we'll share more. And we have people that came to last year. Actually, Gianmarco's confirmed to be a speaker again. He was a top speaker.
Yes,
And he still uses his
yesterday.
wallet. We gave gifts for Loadpipe last year. He still uses his wallet. Romy was told me in
See?
chat. So we'll have more gifts this year
That's a
too,
good giveaway.
and updates and incentives for people that make it. So I think that's it for now. This is episode 435,
Four
and
35.
I see your interview already, and we'll get this intro outro into our editing for next week. So thanks everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed,
Thank you.
and yes, as always.
Okay.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.